Welcome to the I Don't Do That podcast, where we get into all the things that we're not into.
Na 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 na, yeah, no, I don't do that, no, I don't do that. You know it's all right, you can ask, but I don't do that, no, I don't do that. I don't do that.
Episode 19.
I don't regret it. That it was such a good experience, and I learned so much about myself going through that process.
Episode 19 is I Don't Work for Someone Else. We're talking with Cherie today. Cherie does not work for someone else. She is a white woman in her mid-40s, and she lives in Minnesota, USA. Well, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you in here. It's good to see you.
Yeah.
And we're here to talk today about how you don't work for other people.
Right.
Okay. That's wonderful. So, but you used to, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. And so you had a, how long was your job history before you started working for yourself?
I started working for myself just over 2 years ago, actually created the business just under two. So there was a transition period where I was kind of doing both and they overlapped. Mm-hmm. I left the mental health field about 9 years ago.
Okay.
And kind of jumped around a little bit. Had mm-hmm. a longer stint that was over 5 years at one place. And mm-hmm.
So you were working in mental health,
yeah.
And you were focused on that, and you left that, and then you kind of jumped around.
Yeah, and then, some cleaning type jobs. Yeah.
And that's what you're doing now, right?
Yeah,
so
it is
you're
cleaning.
So self-employed.
Yes.
Cleaning. What do you clean? You clean businesses or places? Or?
Mainly it's private places, residents.
Okay.
I do have, I'll say, 1.5 businesses. The one is every week for just an hour, and then the half is kind of seasonal when they need me.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
But it's mostly residences.
Yeah,
huh?
It is.
Yeah. What do you like about that?
I love being my own boss,
yeah,
and not having someone above me really tell me what to do. So it's mainly, you know, my clients,
yeah,
homeowners that are dictating, you know, or asking for me to do certain tasks in their homes.
Sure.
And yeah, I've always kind of liked cleaning.
Yeah.
Well, okay, like is a little strong. You know, hobbies I like. Cleaning, I don't mind it as much as a lot of people. So
yeah, some people really see it as a chore. And
yeah.
I suppose that's why they would pay you to do it.
Right, right. Yeah. Frees up their time to do things that they enjoy much more.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're both happy that way.
I'd say so.
And you don't mind it.
No, I don't. No. I actually kind of started out so many, you know, I'm in my mid-40s, and so my work history, my first real job was like 15. Yeah, I was 15, working in a snack shop. And, mm-hmm. and my second job was actually cleaning for a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I hadn't planned on going to college or anything. I was like, mm-hmm. well, I can do this. This is just fine, you know?
Sure.
I ran into an acquaintance and, well, almost a stranger. He was, I think, a grade ahead of me in high school, but he just asked, so you're going to college? And I'm like, no. And I'm like, you know, working in a hotel cleaning might not be a forever thing. So it kind of, you know, maybe I'm ready. So I start out at community college and transferred and actually ended up getting my master's.
Yeah. That's a lot of education for someone if you're just not planning to go to college.
Right, yeah. Right. It was kind of a surprise to me.
And you got your master's in mental health or psychology?
Something? Yep,
yeah.
Yep.
Okay. And how long were you in that career field then?
Probably about 9 years or so.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what happened when you left?
My last full-time mental health counseling type job,
yeah,
was with teenagers with mental health issues, and I got really burnt out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just needed to get out for my own sanity.
Sure.
You know, if it was working with the clients themselves, you know, that's one thing maybe I could handle, but you add the bureaucracy and just kind of inner office drama and such, it just got to be, you know, I can't do all of keep all of it check or my own mental health with all that, so.
sure yeah, and you got to take care of yourself or you can't do that work.
I think
burnout's really common in that field.
I went into counseling, I loved studying, I loved helping people. I don't know if I had the exact skills. I think sometimes in society you're kind of taught that you can be anything. And I go back and forth. It's like you could, but some skills or what have you, as much as you learn about yourself, there might still be some sort of roadblock where you're just not happy or don't do as well as you'd like.
It's not for you.
Yeah.
I always was kind of told I could do whatever I want. And my counterexample is I couldn't be a professional basketball player.
Right.
Don't tell me that.
You know? Yeah.
It's just not true. I'm not built that way. Even if I was tall enough, I'm clumsy. Like, there's no way that it would work.
Right,
but,
right.
But, I mean, as it is, I'm 5'3". It's not going to happen.
Yes, so, yes.
Yeah. So, you had some success in that, but you didn't see yourself succeeding in it or feeling good in it.
No. I just, at the end of the day, I was exhausted, and I really just didn't know how to take care of myself very well anymore.
Yeah. And were you getting inklings at that time that you might work for yourself or no? Not yet.
No. Well, you know, I guess there was, when I left the mental health field, there was a time there that I did try to kind of work, like do some freelance cleaning or, you know, going to homes. But it was a little more informal, and I couldn't find the client base to really make it.
Mm-hmm.
So I did accept a couple very low-paying jobs to kind of make ends meet for a while.
Mm-hmm. Regular jobs.
Yeah.
Working for other people.
Right,
and stuff.
Right.
Yeah. And so it sounds like you were working for other people, and then you sort of built up your cleaning business and gradually kind of phased out your other employment? Is that?
Yeah. I was working for a couple cleaning businesses part-time when I left. There was mental health, leaving that, and then for five and a half years, I worked at a camper dealership. And I had some good experiences there, for sure. Yeah, I couldn't find enough clientele. I had tried after I left the camper dealership, and they just weren't there. You know, I had maybe 4 or 5 or so that I would do. But, yeah, just I had to grab something for, you know, less than a year or a few months or something. And when I was working for the couple small businesses doing cleaning in homes, I wasn't even necessarily at that time thinking of trying again to see if I could find clientele until a stranger, he was like an independent contractor that was working at one of the houses that I was cleaning, and remind you that I wasn't, you know, cleaning for myself, under somebody.
Yeah.
And they said, well, have you thought of doing, you know, it for yourself? And like, well, yeah, I kind of did a little bit of it in the past, but it got me thinking, and he was my first client, you know, besides the other stint a few years earlier. Yeah. So,
he was self-employed, and
he
liked it. And he recommended it.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, well, I guess I'll try this again because I don't see myself here too long, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, it just built up from there. He recommended me to a couple people that he knew, and then I got in with this amazing, I don't know if I should call them groups, but there's probably a third of my clientele, so maybe around six or so regular clientele, six people that most of them kind of know each other.
Sure.
And it just spread, and it was great because they are kind of like-minded, I guess. They're
sure.
very friendly, and just they're great to work with.
Sure. So it was a lot of word of mouth and social networking.
Yes.
Yeah. They got your clients.
Yeah.
So you didn't do too much marketing then. You didn't really work too hard at that.
I really didn't.
No.
I mean, I was on care.com for a year or so. Mm-hmm. That gave me a few people. You know, mm-hmm. I made business cards, but no, I really didn't mm-hmm. need to reach out a whole lot.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, you must really have something.
Yeah, I think so.
Either because there is a demand
right.
or because you're really good at it or for some reason.
Like, yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'm pretty dependable and
right.
easy going, and I know how to clean. I don't know if I was ready, you know, that first time that I was trying it on my own, but I learned a lot since then and mm-hmm. more professional and what have you.
Yeah. Well, certainly the client that recommended that you do it on your own thought you had something, and you certainly had, because you had experience cleaning the RVs and,
mm-hmm.
and working for other businesses that were cleaning homes and stuff like that. So
Yeah.
It seems, I mean, are you ever ready to do something new?
Right, kind of stumble into it and here you are. But.
Right. So you get to be your own boss.
Yes.
What else do you like about it?
I guess I don't have some supervisor above me mm-hmm. telling me to do something that makes absolute no sense.
Sure,
I've had, quite the job history, and sometimes, you know, people in a position higher than you may not always have the best answers
It's a common complaint.
Yes.
I wrote a song about it called Better Than Your Boss.
Yeah.
And a lot of times people are better at their job than their bosses, and their boss
right.
tells them what to do for whatever reason, because it's their job or because they have some control issue or because they think they know better or something.
It can get tough. Yeah.
Sure.
Like, for example, I'd gotten called in to come to work when I had a vacation request all signed and everything, and I get a call, why aren't you here?
Yeah.
Well,
why aren't you reading the paperwork? You should know why I'm not there.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that kind of thing happens, but it certainly doesn't happen when you're working for yourself.
Right. It's all on me, and that's the way I love it.
I do, too. I mean, I'm self-employed, too, and it's been 12 years now, and I love it. So,
yes, that's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have the control, not mm-hmm. other people. So that's one of the things that I'd learned about myself, that it was kind of a requirement, I guess, to make me succeed in employment, is to have some sort of control.
Yeah. And a lot of people, that's kind of a dream of theirs, you know?
Right.
To be able to control what they do at work or to be self-employed.
Right.
Hey, if you're listening to this right now, I just want to say thank you. I know you have a lot of podcast options, and I very much appreciate you tuning in. At the moment, this podcast is 100% member-supported and ad-free. Many of you are making that possible through your contributions at idontdothatpodcast.com/give, and I thank you again for that. If you think you might like to join our generous members who contribute a little bit, you can do that at idontdothatpodcast.com/give. A membership also gives you access to exclusive digital content on that site. If you don't want to part with the money, I understand. You could still share this podcast with your friends and your social network. You can subscribe to this show on your streaming service of choice, and you can leave a 5-star review with some kind words. Regardless of what you do or what you don't do, there's always plenty of free content for everyone at idontdothatpodcast.com/give. That's for members and non-members alike. Thank you for listening. What are the drawbacks of it? Or what would people need to know? Like, what might be a warning or something?
I guess one of the big drawbacks is cancellations.
Sure.
Because if I don't work, I don't get paid. Mm-hmm. You know, we got snowstorms.
Oh, yeah.
We got one coming up here, I think.
yep. That is what they are saying here
right.
in Minnesota. Right.
Yeah. So that's kind of one of the biggest ones.
Sure. Yeah, so your income isn't regular or dependable.
Right.
It isn't like you get paid the same amount every 2 weeks or something like
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Luckily, yeah. I do well with managing money, and mm-hmm. I know how to make ends meet. And
I think you have to because mm-hmm. You have to save. You have to pay your taxes.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nobody that's putting money in a 401k for you.
Exactly.
Nobody,
yep.
Or an IRA or whatever. There's no retirement account unless
yep.
you have one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm learning documentation, you know, mm-hmm. in order to do the taxes, and that can be kind of time consuming.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So it has been a couple of years. I mean.
Yeah.
So. Was anything shocking? I mean, some of this is still fresh, right?
Yeah, somewhat,
yeah.
I'd say. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing really was too surprising. Uh-huh. I've been blessed with a great group of clientele. I'm mm-hmm. to the point where I do decline jobs occasionally. Mm-hmm. And I somewhat recently did let a couple clients go
mm-hmm.
and yeah, I didn't feel like I had been treated as well as I could have. And they were outliers, you know,
right.
The rest of my clientele, I'm, you know, think I'm great.
Sure.
So
sure.
Why not stick with that type?
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And you really don't need a reason.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I find that, like, I've been DJing weddings for a long time, and it's, like,
yeah.
it's better money than a lot of things that I do. So
mm-hmm.
even though I charge less than most, it's still better money than most of the things I do.
Right.
So, but lately I used to just take anyone who would ask me, but lately it's like, I kind of want to get to know them and what it's going to be like. Like, are we a good fit for each other and that
right.
kind of thing?
Yes, I do
yeah.
that as well. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, it's smart because it is a relationship, right?
Yeah,
you have with your clients.
Yes, mm-hmm. and clients I've been through new, you know, clients getting new jobs or moving or having a new baby or, mm-hmm. you know, having a death.
Yeah.
Like, of the people that I, you know, that live there at the
oh, wow.
house or what have
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
So I get to see how people live and
mm-hmm.
and develop that relationship with them, and yeah, I mm-hmm. really enjoy that.
And it's kind of, I don't know if you see it this way, but is it like having a bunch of different bosses, like the kind of with not so much control, but they are kind of your boss,
right?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
So but you get to pick who they are.
Yeah, I do. Yes.
Yeah. Do you have to do paperwork like contractual things, or do you just kind of do a handshake agreement? And
it is pretty informal.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I have developed a couple guidelines mm-hmm. that you. Yeah, I don't really draw up contracts. I have drawn mm-hmm. up a couple like explanations of what this new guideline's going to be or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, if I'm driving, you know, 18 miles or so to a regular client, they got to keep me there for 2 hours at least.
Sure.
Or actually, I think it's 3 hours. Two
sure.
is my minimum ever.
Mm-hmm.
But three if I'm going to travel a little distance. Otherwise, I'll charge transportation. And
right.
Yeah,
mostly. To make it worth
yeah,
your while.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Usually it's just verbal and.
Yeah. Do you ever get people trying to bait and switch or like change the deal on you after you get there or something like that or?
No, I really haven't had too much of
okay.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I have to say, you know. The list that I've been given, it's going to take me a little too longer than you might expect. So
sure.
how do we deal with this? And I haven't really had any problems.
Great.
Way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize that, like, there's more than one way to run a business. I know, like, people ask me about it sometimes, and some people I've found, like, assume that I need to register with the state as, like, an LLC or, like, or as a business.
Right.
I really don't have to. I mean, I never have in 12 years. I'm a sole proprietor. I'm the only one that does this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure there's advantages to doing it, but I just don't. There's also fees and stuff. So So my idea is, like, keeping it simple. So as far as you're saying about, like, not doing contracts and whatnot, if you don't have to.
Yes.
You can take some paperwork out of the equation.
Yeah, that's my thoughts as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone ends up being dishonest and you don't have that contract to fall back on, you just say goodbye and...
Yes.
Try again with somebody else.
Yeah. And I did, when I started my own business, I did get business insurance because... Mm-hmm. I wanted to be protected since I am covering large areas of spaces and handling people's belongings in case there was some sort of accident. I wanted to be covered that way.
Yeah. So the business insurance covers it, like, if their property gets damaged or something like that, or like,
Yeah.
Does it cover other things too?
That's about all that I know off the top of my head.
Yeah. Yeah, that's smart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's. It makes me think I should do that. I'm gonna look into it, but yeah. So far, so good.
Right.
A lot of times, what I'd say about contracts too is, like, the amount of money per client that I'm talking about is usually. I mean, even if I have this contract and I say, "Hey, you signed this and you said you'd do it," they could just go tell me to get lost, and it's like. Am I going to take them to court for that amount of money?
Yes.
That's
right.
Usually not.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So, but if it's a larger amount of money, I have, and sometimes I have contracts. So,
yeah. If I were to do a pretty large job, I maybe would think about it. Which you had asked a struggle, and I guess I did think of another one being able to bid a job.
Uh-huh.
I don't really do too much of that. Some of the individuals in the field do. And that might be a little more common. I'm not sure. But it's hard for me to look at a whole house and... I suppose it works better with, like, larger jobs or move-outs, you know, where it's you're talking a few hundred dollars. But I don't want... to short myself, and that's how I would probably approach it, because I always think I can do so much in such a short period of time, and then I end up not making as much. So I do charge hourly.
Yeah. You're not necessarily going to give an estimate for an entire job and say, I'm going to get all this done for X amount. Like,
right.
Yeah. I mean, that planning fallacy is universal among people. I mean, pretty much you ask anyone how long it's going to take them to do anything, and they will tell you less time than it actually takes.
Yes.
We all do that all the time.
Yeah. And I'm getting a little bit better, and especially when I first meet a client, to let them know that, you know, my tendency to say, yes, I can do it all, but realistically, you know, we got to... Mm-hmm. Figure out if you're satisfied with the amount I'm getting done, and if not, maybe we need to make some changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it sounds like you're pretty upfront. And like, I think honesty and directness pay off a lot.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, and it sounds like you got some great clients and some great relationships with them.
Yes, like, I enjoy getting caught up on what's going on in their lives. You know,
I'm sure that helps too. If you guys get along, if you're their kind of person and they're your kind of person, then that's probably a bonus for them as well.
Yeah. And all my clients, I wouldn't mind going and having a cup of coffee with. So
sure.
Yeah, they're great.
How much does your career look like what you thought it would?
Not at all. I guess. Okay. Yeah, I didn't really know what to expect. So,
right.
Yeah, I kind of started out a little bit doing cleaning. And actually, my mom's first job that I remember from when I was a kid, she would go into people's homes and clean. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. That is interesting.
Yeah. First memory of her working was, and I would go with her occasionally, you know, quite often, I think.
Sure.
I was, you know, 4, it was right before I started school. So, yeah, I didn't know what my skills were, what I'd be doing.
Mm-hmm. That did give you some early experience, though.
It did, yeah.
You knew exactly, like, what it felt like, anyway, to enter the space and kind of see it.
Yeah, see your
mom doing her thing. And
Right. And it's like I went full circle. I left cleaning the hotel thinking I'm going to be doing something so much better and different. And then kind of eventually came full circle. But I've had people ask me if I regret going, especially on to my master's, and now I'm cleaning toilets. You know, no, I don't. I don't regret it. That it was such a good experience, and I learned so much about myself going through that process.
That education is that education in particular, like, you do learn a lot about yourself.
Yes.
And about people. Do you feel like your psychology training helps you work with your cleaning clients?
I would say it does somewhat.
Yeah.
I think it would give me a little more credibility.
Sure.
If it comes up that, hey, I am very educated and I do have, you know, good skills and I'm dependable and, you know, all that, I'm trustworthy and honest. So I think it's a very, vulnerable having on both parts, me coming into a client's home around all their stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And if you don't know me, and vice versa, I'm sure there has been clients that, not mine, thankfully, but there are people out there that, like, hey, something's missing or something's damaged, and, you know, if it's really not me who did it, and it's just, it could get tricky. So I think there's a little bit of credibility or whatever, if, you know.
I would think you have some empathy from your studies and your practice of counseling, too, because, I mean, you just said that, like, that they're vulnerable when you walk in, and probably not everybody thinks about that.
Right, you know? Right,
you know what I mean? Yes. So you have a connection to people that maybe you didn't have before, you wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. It has helped some, like, social skills wise or what have you, because I do have some pretty high anxiety, and going through all that, you know, my education has helped me kind of keep that in check, and my anxiety going into working for myself, I know how to deal with it, I guess, more in this field than, like, some of the social service jobs. It's like you just got to have the answer, and the pressure is on you. And I guess that was one of the tricky points in some of my other jobs in the past, not working for myself. It would be, if pressure is on, my brain just kind of shut down. So that was one of the struggles in all my employment, that was like, I know that I have good skills, but how do I, you know, overcome this aspect? So that, you know, anxiety and cleaning, it's...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think shutting down is a very common, it's fight or flight or freeze.
Yes.
So it's like, if when you're under stress, it really isn't a time to make a decision in some way.
Right.
And a lot of times we sort of are called on to do that.
Yeah.
And if you're working in mental health, the stakes are quite high when people are talking about their well-being or their loved one then yeah, it,
right.
It can put a lot of stress on you as a practitioner.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes, it can.
And yeah, this seems like you can be much more easygoing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And definitely.
And why not? You
know, yeah. Yeah.
There's nothing that says you have to do something that's super difficult with your life.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. And the job at the camper dealership, yeah, after I left the social service field, yeah, that was very interesting because it was, my job was kind of based in the shop. So I was around a lot of guys.
Right.
And so going from like mental health where you got to watch your P's and Q's and be professional and all this.
And, I'm and like, it's mostly women too in that field.
Yeah, yeah. It really is. Yeah, yeah. Yes. And then to go and work with a bunch of guys and be able to just, I don't know, swear if I want,
yeah.
You know, not yeah, that kind of pressure.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome there.
Cool, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that reminds me of what you said when you were first cleaning hotels. You're like, oh, I could do this. I could just stay here.
Yeah.
Know? Like, yeah, yeah.
Yep, yep.
So it sounds like you found your calling. Do you,
yeah.
Do you imagine doing anything different or going back to working for somebody else, or
I would try everything in my power not to go that route, but yeah, you know, if it needs to put food on the table and a roof over my head, I guess that
sure,
you know, may have to happen. But you know, if so, maybe when I'm closer to retirement, right, and it would be very part-time, and you know, I'd have to check a lot of boxes, be a good fit.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, I hope you can continue doing this then for as long as you want to.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I figure, you know, as I get a little older, I'll probably start increasing my hourly, what I charge hourly,
yeah, yeah,
and put in a little less hours then.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
You'll be
yeah,
worth more. You have more
right,
experience.
Exactly.
And, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is there anything else you wanted to say?
No, I think that about covers it.
Okay. I appreciate you coming on. It's great to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you, Ocho. It was great being on.
And thanks to you for listening. Shout out to the GSR Fine Arts Festival of Mankato, Minnesota. You can catch me, Ocho, playing there at the Mankato Civic Center with Betty and Star McKenzie on Sunday, November 26th at 11 a.m. You can also gift shop there at dozens of local businesses all in one place. It's perfect timing for the holidays. How about that? That's all day at the Mankato Civic Center on Saturday and Sunday, Thanksgiving weekend. And catch Ocho, Betty, and Star McKenzie, collectively known as Sorry I'm Happy, on Sunday, November 26th at 11 a.m. there. Mankato Civic Center. You know the Mankato Civic Center, officially the Mayo Health Central System Event System Clinical Center, or whatever. I'm pretty sure there's a few more words in there. Shout out to our sponsor, Anders the Giant with Primetime Web. Shout out to The League for playing the soundtrack for this episode. Happy holidays, people. My name is Ocho. I'm your host, chief engineer, and producer. I also composed and performed the theme song. Thank you again to Cherie for sharing your experience with us. Thanks to all of you for all that you do and all that you don't do. I will talk to you again, if I'm lucky.
I don't do that.